Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Let's put it where the goats can get it, okay?
The easy question and the easy thought is always who starts.
The problem is Gordon Hayward. Why is this man starting?
The Boston Celtics are the greatest because of people like Glenn Hardaway, the men who make the Celtics what they are.
It's the Celtics.
I still can't believe it hasn't been. Ben, you sure it hasn't been announced?
Say it again, Patio.
I don't care about Bud Black.
Who cares?
I don't care.
I don't care.
I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
It is easier to manage a baseball team in Oakland or Tampa than it is in Boston. It is.
The great game of baseball has given me all kinds of... almost died. All kinds of energy.
Right now.
Boy gets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl back. Good triumphs over evil. That's it.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF. We've been talking about all of the teams in town. And interesting, Shaughnessy wrote this piece today. And we kind of alluded to this the other day. We were talking about this. So Celtics are off to a poor start. I would say 7-6. And, you know, having to go to overtime to win that game in Phoenix, where they could be under 500 right now, is not good for a team that I think most people in this area are projecting as going to the NBA Finals.
At least they were.
And Shaughnessy wrote it about it today. After a lukewarm start, worse than lukewarm, Celtics don't seem to be taking any heat. Now, I think we've thrown a little heat their way because some of these games have been extremely frustrating.
About their play currently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's right. I don't think there are people haven't touched them at all. When we sit here and talk about Celtics, we're not getting a bunch of phone calls where people are pissed off at Brad Stevens or at Danny. You got too many superstars there. You know, Shaughnessy brings up the owners.
Get off Al Horford's back.
Exactly.
There seems to be so much goodwill built up with this team in this town for a team that hasn't won anything yet that it is kind of astonishing. Because no one's really panicking. That's why they're not blowing them up, I don't think, because I think you just look at it and say they have a lot of talent. You've enjoyed watching the Celtics team so much in the last two or three years to watch them kind of be where they are right now as real contenders that you're willing to sit back and just say, they'll be fine.
Yeah, but that's strange, isn't it?
Because
before they were the engine that could, and so they overachieved, and so you're right. We tend to back off being critical of teams that
you don't believe
overachieve. Right. But if this were I'll take it back. This was the Patriots. First month of the season, the Patriots got off to a rough start. They were missing Julian Edelman. What were our calls like? People were panicking. They're going 9-7. They're going 8-8. People were panicking. And yet, how many championships have they brought here
in the last 18 years? Yeah, I know. And even the Red Sox, there's more trust in the Celtics team, who hasn't won anything, than there was with the Red Sox.
Than any team in this
town.
I'm
just saying, the Red Sox were record pace. They were winning left and right. They started 17-2. They went 500 for about 3 weeks, and they pretty much went 17-2 again. And it was like, I don't trust them. I don't think they can win. They're this, they're that. These wins don't count. I mean, you heard it all summer long.
No.
And you were critical of a team that was on pace to win 115 games or whatever it was. With this team, I think you looked at the postseason last year, and you loved what you saw from Jaylen Brown in the postseason. You loved what you saw from Tatum, from Horford, and you know some of the other guys, Morris and Rozier. And you said, okay, now you're going to bring in Hayward, you're going to bring in Kyrie. You trust this Celtics team who hasn't won anything more than you trust the Red Sox, that's for sure. And you certainly criticize the Patriots a lot more than you criticize this team.
See, I think it's a little bit what you said. It's like, you know, you built up so much goodwill equity because they were doing more than you thought was possible.
You've been happy about them.
Go back to last year. So last year, you know, you don't have Gordon Hayward from the beginning. So a lot of young players. Kyrie Irving gets hurt. You're sitting there going, how are they going to do? Well, they go farther than you think, right, based on the player. So you didn't think Tatum would develop or this fast or Jaylen Brown would take over. Everything that went into it. The year before that, they overcame it again with Isaiah Thomas. So you've had really three straight years of them doing more than you gave them credit for. You didn't think they could do this. And then you sit there and go, all right, well now, so you're almost left this residual feeling of not almost like, all right, the same feeling that you had last year. So you put the expectations on them, and then you're still left with the same feeling of, oh, they can do it, they can do it. Yet they should be in the championship. It's a weird like relationship I think the fans have.
Yeah, but I understand
overcoming it. Yet you're now they're the favorite. So yet you still have that underdog mentality. Yet they're the favorite. They're so if you're the favorite, you can't have the underdog mentality anymore because now you're the favorite.
Well, that's my point, though. The last 2 years, I understood it. I got it. They overachieved, you know? Nobody thought, especially when they lost Hayward in that first game, then they lose Kyrie, and then they're beaten up, and they get to Game 7 of the Eastern
Conference.
We're not
there yet with them. We're not there yet with them. No, I'm just saying, like, now they have enough talent to go to the NBA Finals, correct?
But that's what the prediction is.
All right.
Everybody's predicting to win in the East.
Fine, you're not mad at them yet.
Right. They're the sixth seed
You know, but you're not mad at them yet because you know it's a long year and they're going to figure it out. This year, let's say they lose in the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, next year, it'll start to build. All right, well, here we go. I mean, you know, now you've extended Kyrie. This is the team. You know, you got a couple years left. Now you got to go to the NBA Finals. Now you got to compete for a championship. And if you fail for a second year on a team that you expect to get there, now you might actually be somewhat critical. It is so early in the process right now that, you know, you still believe it's going to work.
Yeah.
Now, if they fall flat in their face this season, again, next year, it'll build. The pressure will build. The expectations will be like, listen, I'm starting to lose my patience. You're no longer that fun, loving little team anymore. Now you're disappointing me.
This team
hasn't disappointed anyone in the last 3 or 4 years. Matter of fact, everyone loves the progression that you're seeing in this organization.
Yeah. Loves and adores everything they've done.
They haven't let you down yet.
You may be right. On the other hand, there does seem to be a tendency for their fan base to kind of accept whatever they throw at them. Okay, whatever's happening right now, there are excuses, and I'm hearing them. There are a lot of excuses. Oh, well, you know, the road trip was real tough. You know, hey, they've played really tough teams so far. Okay, I looked it up. Strength of schedule, they're one of the toughest schedules so far this season. You know who's had a tougher schedule? The Milwaukee Bucks. And they have a better record than you. Okay? So,
I think people will make excuses.
That is a cop-out,
though. That is a cop-out because you've played a tough schedule. You're supposed to be one of the best two or three teams in the league. So when teams play you, it's supposed to be tough.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, they played a tough schedule. Okay, the Celtics of 2 years ago, if they played a tough schedule, went 7-6, you're like, I get it. You're playing the best teams in the league. You are now supposed to be one of them. You are now a team that Portland's supposed to worry about when they come to your building. You know, you're a team that everyone is supposed to worry about when you go to their building, Toronto, you name it. Just because you lose those games, like, well, they're a good team. You're supposed to be one of the best. You're supposed to be better than these teams. So that's a cop-out, saying they got a tough record.
Well, it'll be interesting because so far people are treating them with kid gloves. Even the questions that are being asked, Shaughnessy brings some of that stuff up, the guys' questions that are being thrown out there. And I think to this point, Brad Stevens has been very honest. He's not shying away from it. He's basically saying, you know, we're not as good as these guys think we are. Even Kyrie Irving said that. And the Bruins are the same way. I mean, the Bruins fans, to their credit, when their team's not doing right, their ownership is not willing to go out and get that extra player that they need, they're all over them. They beat the crap out of them. And the Red Sox, we know how they had an unbelievable season this year. 108 wins, the complete runoff in the road games in the
postseason.
See,
but they haven't won enough for the I feel like the fans to get pissed off about them not doing what they're supposed to do. There's no real history yet of them doing what they're supposed to do. The Patriots, even though in the middle of the year you'll have some bumps and bruises, or especially in the beginning of the year, they always end up recorrecting and fixing it. Right? They'll go to the championship or they'll go to the Super Bowl. They may not win it, but they end up going there. They end up at least finishing the task in some way, shape, or form. The Celtics, though, there's nothing really there yet. So they're still like in a honeymoon season.
There's an interesting thing with the coverage of the Bruins right now. Tuukka Rask went to Don Sweeney and asked for a few days off.
Yes.
And he said it was a private
personal
issue with the family. And now what we're getting is that the beat writers, the guys who cover it, are basically saying that it's off limits what happened with Tuukka Rask. I think if it were a health issue with a member of his family, we would have known that by now. Is that fair to say? Because that's the way most of them are writing it. So it doesn't seem to be – we know it's not health with him.
If it was a death in the family, you give that information. You don't have to get specific. You don't have to say who it was, right? But there was a death in the family. He had to leave for a few days.
All right. We saw that the other day with Kyrie Irving. Okay, with the grandfather dying. So this is Matt Kalman, who writes WEEI.com. Tuukka Rask is back. Bruins goaltender practiced with his teammates at Warrior Ice Arena on Tuesday after 4 days from the club to attend a personal matter. Then he goes on and he cites the quotes and whatever. But he basically says that it's really all the public needs to know is Tuukka Rask is back. No amount of salary, however, requires Rask or any other athlete to share with the public all of their personal secrets. What happens away from the rink is their business, and if the team believes it's in the best interest of the player to get away and rectify a situation, then there should be no controversy about any leave of absence. Now, I don't know. You guys don't know what it is. On the other hand, you don't see a lot of players taking 2, 3, 4 days off because they've got some personal issue, which is usually what we just described,
yeah. I mean,
a family
even,
health issue.
Even Kimbrel, you know, in spring training. Right?
Yet his child.
Yeah, I mean,
we knew about that.
People didn't need to know about that. You know what I mean?
But they
I
did.
Mean, but that's what I mean. So if it's something like a sick child,
that's acceptable. Though.
That's you know. But I'm saying, and I think you'll also talk about it, right? You say, you know, this is what's going on. Now, I don't know. I mean, you could argue that nobody had the right to know what Craig was dealing with his family and his daughter, right? Or you know, death in the family type thing. It's like you just throw it out there with. This one is somewhat mysterious. We have no idea, you know, of what it is. But it is interesting that all the beat guys are saying, like, you know, nobody has the right to know. Well, okay. Like I said, I didn't need to know what Kimbrel was home for either. Or, I don't know. Wait, does that mean the reporters, should they look around to find out what it is?
So why do they always do it when there's a child who's sick or a wife is sick? They do explain that that's the reason.
Do they just step back and say, it's not my job to dig into it and try to find out why he was away? Like, to me, it's almost like sometimes you dig, you find out, and then you decide, like, okay, you know, this doesn't need to be shared. You know, if it's a sick child, I don't know, if somebody wants to divulge that information, fine, like Kimbrel. Death in the family, grandparent, parent, brother, sister, fine, I get it. But if it's something more personal, I don't know, he's talking about his family, I have no idea.
But they do, when they say there's a family illness or whatever,
they
come right out with it and say it because it's understandable. There isn't a single fan out there that's going to sit there and say, hey, Craig Kimbrel needed to be at the ballpark every single day in Fort Myers. What the hell's he doing home, you know, worried about the child or whatever? Nobody's going to question that.
So what if he just came in and said it's a personal issue and just left it at that?
Well, that's what Rask did.
Yeah. So then you're left to kind of you're left to your imagination.
So are there different personal issues?
Sure.
That are acceptable by an employer, and I think a part of this case was he wasn't playing that well. He wasn't playing that well.
What do you mean? So, wait, say that again. Are there acceptable? Personal...
Are there certain things that you would look at and say, okay, I get it.
This
I
doesn't
understand
need to
it.
Be public,
right?
Yeah. Well, of course.
He talked about it. Did he talk about it today, Ryan? Do you have him talking about
it? He spoke on it yesterday.
I've never been more proud to be a part of this family, the Boston Bruins, because they really, we talked about a lot of this is a family, and we are a family, and we take care of each other when times are tough. And that being said, I have a job. My job is to be a hockey goalie for the Boston Bruins, and I also have another job. Title and that's a family man and this was a time that deep inside my heart I felt like I needed to take time to be with my family and make things right so I can be back here and focus on my job.
Well, I would say this: if you're the employer, you're the GM, you're the coach, and you're watching a guy go out there and not perform at a level that you want him to, you expect him to, and you know you're just trying to figure it out. Maybe whatever, I'm playing a lot more because this guy's just not as good right now. I don't know what's going on with Tuukka Rask. And then he comes to you and says, listen, this has been on my mind. You know, I think I might need 2 or 3 days to clear it. This is what's going on back with my family, my wife, me, my kids. I have no clue what's going on. As a coach, you would sit there and say, okay, at least now I know maybe what was going on. You need to go and clear your head. Because, by throwing you out there tonight with everything that's going on in your mind or whatever the hell is going on in your family, you need to get away and you need to clear this thing up. And when you come back, let's get you back to playing, but straighten out your family thing. Because, you know, you've seen that, Christian. I mean, it affects guys, whether guys are going through divorce. I've seen that before. Custody cases in the middle of the season. And it is just tearing the player apart. And you're like, you know, he doesn't look like
it's
the same guy at all.
He's awful.
But wait, so what am I doing here? You know, like, do I give this guy the break and straighten it out or not?
Well, I think I give him credit for it, you know, just for the fact that recognizing that, okay, if I stick around, I'm only going to make things worse.
But when you don't give a reason,
Well, that's what I mean. You start speculating. You start going in imagination land.
Yeah. And people start wondering what it is, you know, and then, I don't know, I think that's just human nature, isn't it?
Yeah, then
they
rumors
have to talk about something controversial.
then rumors start to floating out there, and nobody knows whether any of these things are true or not, and it makes it, I think, worse because you get all that stuff out there. Listen, it was up to the Bruins to make that decision. To use the old cliche, they did what was best for the team. Okay, and he wasn't playing well, and the best thing to do for the team was probably go take 3 days off and get your head together. But the question I throw out there, is it fair for people to go and find out what it is? Because, you know, and people, I don't see a lot of people taking 3-4 days off from work.
No, it's odd.
Every time they've got a family
6 issue. Weeks.
He also had a line in which he said he had to go and make things.
He's a family man.
And make That's things what it right. Is. He's a family man.
Mm-hmm. Had to make so now things, we know.
He had to make things right.
No, so obviously this was a family issue. I don't know if it had to do with his wife or his kids, but something was going on back home where he felt like he had to get back there and deal with it for a couple of days and straighten some things out. Right? Now,
but don't
specifics
we all,
of it?
Don't
no
we
clue.
All don't we all do that? I mean, we're all family men. Don't we mm-hmm. all have issues to deal with, whether it's dealing with your kids, whether they're being harassed in social media, in which you know you go home from work and you have to sit down, you have to deal with it. You may have to call other parents. You may have to get other people involved. There are other issues that you have, issues in your marriage. Sometimes it goes well. Sometimes it doesn't go so well.
Yeah,
there's a lot
that.
Of but what
professional
is the
athletes in locker rooms? Yeah, we've seen that. I don't know what the hell was going on with him, but I've seen guys kind of come back from trips. Next thing you know, mama found out about some stuff, and now I got to deal with it. And you know, she found out about this one or that one. And
what's all this glitter lotion?
But I don't know. I don't know. I have no clue what's going on with Tuca. But yes, sometimes people need to straighten out their family life.
So
one for one reason or another.
So you know how this works in the world today. There are too many different people out there that are not what you would call trained journalists who are out there on social media. There could be all sorts of stuff that pops out there of people in private life that know and now have a means, these little devices right mm-hmm. here, in which they can broadcast out something that happened to any athlete, right, or any person, right?
Mm-hmm.
So who knows where this goes? But the media, they don't want to touch this one at all. And if you're a beat writer,
you don't want to be wrong.
It. Well, no, it's not even you don't want to be wrong. I think what it is,
it's a big part of it.
I think if you're a beat writer, you're going to have to deal with that locker room, okay, that dressing room. What you're going to do is it's not worth it.
So that reporter their laundry in the street.
It depends on what you uncover. But to me, a reporter should be finding out what it was. They should be finding out. They should be digging into it. They should try to find out. Talk to whoever it is to find out what it was.
It's going
to
be a
and then when
guy.
You when you find out what it was, then that's up to you. Maybe this is a little bit too personal.
Yep.
You know, or maybe whatever. Or then maybe you go to the team. You go to the player. You know, and if you don't, you know, whatever. But I mean, I think they should.
Ryan,
I think they should find out.
Ryan just
try
said,
to.
Ryan just said it has Michelle McPhee written all over
I
it.
I said nothing.
Good job, Ryan.
Good.
It won't be one of these beat guys. And I read the Matt Kellman piece today, and I get it. I understand it. But
even then, some of these guys are like, you can be critical all you want of Tuca's play. It's like, well, actually, when people are, you rip them for that.
Tuca Rask.
So you try to shame him into everything.
To throw under the bus.
Yeah, you shame him into everything. You criticize the guy who doesn't play well, and you're unfair. You know, you're curious on why the guy took 3 or 4 days off, and you think that maybe a reporter should do a job and go report, and then you can decide whether it's something you want to come forward with. Don't you think a lot of these beat reporters, they hold stuff all the time. They hold it all the time. You know, when they're covering a team, they know a lot of these stuff that goes on. They don't report everything. But I would think a reporter would. Yeah, they would report, or at least try to investigate and find out what the hell it was. And if it's something that may be a little bit too personal, you make that call and say, yeah, this isn't for the public.
All right, we're going to get to the phone calls coming up next. 617-779-7937.
None of these guys in Boston Sports Talk Radio go to the games.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF at 617-779-7937. Let me go to this guy. Let me go to Austin in Springfield. Hey, Austin.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Hey, so I got two answers to your questions there, one about the Celtics, but more recently about Tuukka Rask. First and foremost, it does sound shady, and if it's something that's person that he talked about, so that's a possibility there. And then the second thing about the Celtics is, I believe because the Patriots at this point now, whether or not Brady stays or goes for the next 3 or 4 years, that's neither here nor there. But we can all say we can see the finish line to the Patriots and what the dynasty that, you know, my generation, I'm 23, that I've grown up with. And yeah, so I think we're a little bit more focused in on the Patriots, and we're looking at the Celtics, as you had mentioned. You know, they have goodwill, but I mean, look, do I think the Celtics are going to win the NBA Finals? Golden State's still better, and I still think they're going to win. But if they don't make it to the Finals, then it is a lost season, because what the hell are we doing here? But anyway, just wanted to kind of comment on those.
All right.
I mean, it is. It'll be a lost season, and I think it'll be disappointing if they don't get to the Finals this year. And then that'll be your first taste of disappointment in the last 4 or 5 years of this Celtics team.
So, but
and then it'll start to build, and it hasn't built. There is no, I'm really disappointed in this team. 13 games ain't going to cause that. So it needs to build. Need to get there, fail, and then you'd be like, okay, year two, let's go. You got to figure this thing out. Brad Stevens, you can't get him over the hump. Now, you know what I mean? So you're not questioning Brad Stevens yet until he's unable to bring this team to the Finals. But if he is, now the heat's on Stevens. Now the heat's on these players to make sure they get there for the second year. So you just haven't had any bad feelings about this roster, this team in the last 4 or 5 years. You've loved every minute of it.
Yeah, and I don't think we've crushed in any of it, because they've constantly overachieved, including last year, you know, going as deep as they went without, you know, key players. Are you kidding me? That was, you know, remarkable. But I think this year, let's say they struggle this week. Let's say that they barely win tonight. They lose one or both of the games coming up over the weekend against Toronto and against Utah. Are you telling me that the Green Teamers, people aren't going to sit there and question it? Because the funny thing is, the lollipop boy at night, Gilroy.
Sure was. Gilroy, that a boy.
I'll give Gilroy some credit. Gilroy is sitting there, and he's basically, because he has high expectations.
Yes.
So he's looking at it saying, I expected at the beginning of the season, he said, I expect this team to be in the NBA Finals, not win it. I think we're all rational.
Yeah, but it's
going to
be amazing how patient those people are. It's going to be like, it's only 20 games in.
Yeah.
It's only 30 games in. It's only 40 games in. I'm telling you, it's not going to be until the very end. If they're disappointing in the playoffs, then it'll start
resilient.
To build.
Yeah, I was just sitting there going, you know, it's not. It's going to be till the end of, forget about the halfway point, forget about the All-Star game. We're talking like end of March. I mean, even at that point in time, they will not relent and not give up with the fact that this team has finally figured it out and they got it, right? It's just, so they're late bloomers this year, right? They had to deal with a lot. They won't do it until they get bounced in the first round. Unless they could have a year like Toronto did last year. Best record in the East, get bounced by Cleveland, and they still say, well.
But here's what's crazy. The expectations are very high for this team. The expectations were high for the Red Sox, and we sat on a 108-win regular season and still didn't believe in them. Still were being critical of them.
Why?
There's a double standard.
No, well, I'm just saying. Why? Because the last 2 years, they gave you reason to doubt them. They gave you anger, and you sat there and said, I'm not trusting this group. Bryce can't win. They got a rookie manager. Sale hasn't even won. Porcello can't win. Mookie can't hit in the postseason. So your recent 2 year memory, short term memory, is disappointment. There hasn't been any disappointment with this Celtics team. Were people going crazy that they lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers last year in 7 games? No, they weren't.
Yeah.
They're sitting there saying, it's okay. They didn't have Kyrie. They didn't have Hayward. Wait till next year. So there has been no recent disappointment with this group, and there's no reason to.
They always gave you
be
more
pissed at
than
them.
You thought they were that they were capable of doing.
And again, I'll go back to his original thing on Tuukka. You know, I played in a few teams with a couple of guys. Like I mentioned, one of the guys was dealing through a divorce and a custody case, and a couple other guys on my team did get caught by mama, and it affected them. And the beat reporters knew about it. Some of them knew about it. They just didn't report it. But they tried to find out what the hell was going on.
What is Dale?
They found out what was going on.
Hold on.
They didn't feel like that was really meant for the public, which I would agree with them.
Here's the difference. Did those guys skip work?
No.
They missed games. That's the difference. So I would bet you anything that there are a couple guys on the beat that probably do know what this is all about. But they're being protective of the player.
Well, it sounds like some of them think it's not even...
Well, they're saying that because they're being protective.
Asking questions.
They're being protective of the players and of the team. But this is a case where, and we had a couple of women that called that wanted to talk, take us to task for it, and then we started talking about basketball with the last call, and they hung up. But when they miss work, when somebody misses work and he misses a couple of games and he takes a leave of absence, that's different from somebody who's struggling, who's showing up every single day and is dealing with something in their private life, because we all deal with stuff in our private life. That is a little bit different, isn't it?
Yeah.
He couldn't come to work. He couldn't perform in a game.
Most likely, if somebody does dig, it'll be information that shouldn't be made public.
Correct.
That's the thing.
Well, it's obviously Tuca doesn't want it out there because it probably is embarrassing. But once you miss work for anything, we scrutinize every player when they miss work, don't we? We sit there and go crazy half the time when a Patriot player doesn't show up to freaking practice. And we're sitting there going, what are the Patriots withholding? What are they holding?
Player misses the game because of a baby.
Right.
Has a baby.
Right.
Some people go crazy.
Some people do go crazy. Then that's that paternity leave they have over there, too, huh? Mm-hmm. All right, we got one more segment to go.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF, we can give you some interesting news here.
All right.
1 year extension for Alex Cora.
Hey, you got it, Lou? You wanted it? You got it.
All right. So
with a 1 year option. This is their way of giving him more money and obviously getting something out of it. They get more security. They give him a 1 year extension, so we give you more money right now. So we hold on to you for more year.
I guess it's more money. It's
more money. It's a three year deal.
You got a 1 year extension to 2021 and a club option in 2022. So. Is it more, like next year's? You making? Did they rip this thing up, or they just give him additional years, 21 and 22, with money? We don't know.
Well, they could do it either way. But they gave him more money. He's getting more money out of this deal. There's no why would he do this? Why would he take a 1 year extension at the same money? That's foolish. Doesn't make any sense. So he wanted more money, which he deserves. And did you hear that, Rob? He deserves more money. I don't want Rob going at us tonight again. And then. What they do is they get more security out of it. They get to hold on to him for an extra year.
This just in, too, by the way. Bob Melvin received a 3-year extension.
Ooh.
Bob Melvin wins. if we're dropping like new news, I got one also.
What's that?
Ooh, you got big news?
I got one also. Bob Melvin news, but Celtics Brad Stevens said Gordon Hayward no longer has a firm minute restrictions. Said Hayward probably won't play 35 minutes, but rarely does anyone play 35 barring OT, except so that's a good sign.
So wait a minute. Let me get
that's
this,
a good news
let me get
for
this
everybody.
Straight. Most of the fans, including Lou and Hayward on the second team coming off the bench, Brad Stevens is doubling down saying he needs to play
more. Yeah, he's got to play more. No, that's part of it, right? Yeah, now you're playing more. So, Core, you got what you wanted with Core. Good. Congratulations.
Core, seventh first place vote.
So everybody's happy now.
Everybody, news breaking.
Everybody's happy.
Yeah. News breaking. Yeah. I'm looking for more news because you guys came up with big news things. I'm looking for something.
See if you can find something over there.
Something else that's big that I can
drop. I don't see anything.
Big
nothing
news.
You can
news.
Drop.
Let's see, I got nothing.
You know what? Dropping news. We should let
I'm
going
dropping news. Dropping
Stop
news
it.
Will be Kirk
Stop
Manahan
it.
Will be on the air tomorrow
it's
at 8 a.m.
Tomorrow at 8 a.m.
He's coming
Triumphant
back.
Return. Yes, I can't wait.
So is he coming back to... Is it? It's Kirk and Callahan, right?
What goddamn show
is
that?
It's the Callahan Variety Show.
Okay.
Starring Jerry Callahan and friends.
That's a long-awaited return. I think a lot of people will be interested in that one, including myself.
Yes.
8 o'clock. Good. I like it.
And you're expecting what?
Goddamn
place!
I don't know.
I'm expecting
I'm expecting some
answers.
I'm expecting him to come back full-time. What do you think?
I hope you're right, but...
I watched the Sox game, Lou. I swear to God, I was watching it last night.
I know you were, Kirk.
Atta boy, Kirky.
This is good. This is good. This is good. This is a good day.
You guys sound all, you guys look all glum and depressed and all worn out. Like, I know it's been a long day. I know it's probably a little too much for you today, but it's good.
Who's on
getting
after
on
us?
A high note?
Reamer,
you're
Reamer.
Your buddy Reamer.
Reamer is standing behind me listening to everything.
Oh. Hey, you want Reamer to come in and do the cross?
Yeah. No. So,
why doesn't Reamer come in and do the cross?
I want to ask him. So, Reamer, you can do 4 hours of boring sports talk, you know, that whole sports show that you crush on a daily basis in the morning and how it's awful and nobody wants to listen to it, and we should talk more about Carlson's kids. We should talk more about Trump. You want nothing
Kavanaugh.
To do with sports.
Kavanaugh talk.
You want Kavanaugh.
Talk.
You want Kavanaugh. All the social issues. And then you come up.
He's
all sporting tonight. Is he in the lineup? Out.
What's happened to you?
Is there other news? Is there any other news going on here?
There is some news.
I mean, Cora Swart got the big extension, right?
Yes.
That's it. Is that the only press release that we're expecting to be released?
Somebody else didn't get an extension.
And well, of course, and Hayward's getting
more minutes
restriction. That's about it. But I'll be listening to your show on right
after. More Aaron Baines, too, guys. More Aaron Baines.
Can we just say this?
You got any big news coming up?
Got a big news?
I think we may have multiple press releases to read. How about that? Red Sox core and another one I have right in front of me here. I don't know.
We've heard about
you
it.
You read it.
Good luck to it. Good luck to all of you.
All right, get out of here.
Okay, good luck.
So, good luck tonight.
So at least there'll be a reason to listen to Reamer tonight. Yep. Right? Yeah. We got a reason now to listen to Reamer. This last segment has been sponsored by Cars for Kids. It's the easy way to donate your car, donate your show, donate whatever you want. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877 Cars for Kids. As we said, Kirk, tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Big announcement coming up in a matter of minutes. That's what we're hearing here at the station. And, boys, we'll be back. We'll talk all about it tomorrow.
Yes,
open mic. What's tomorrow, Thursday? Open mic Thursday tomorrow, Fourier.
Perfect.
We'll do it. All right. Goodbye, everybody.